You asked for it, you got it. The Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast for those who hate Medicare. Now here, with a tear in his eye, is Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another thrill-packed episode of Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. You don't have to be a lazy man to enjoy it, but it helps. How did I come up with that name? Well, I looked in the mirror one day and I said, what is it about Medicare that makes me not want to be energetic? Well, pretty much the whole subject. So if you're not enthusiastic about the subject of Medicare, I don't blame you, and I completely understand. However, if you are approaching Medicare, you're looking at maybe your 65th birthday coming around the corner, or you're thinking about retiring. Let's say you're 70 years old and you've been working for the same company for a long time, but it's time to walk away from the employer health insurance plan. So you're thinking about Medicare. What do I do about Medicare? Well, I suggest that you go to barnesandnoble.com or Amazon.com and purchase Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. As always, it's a lengthy process once the book is written and edited to get the book in all of its forms up for sale. So right now, Barnes & Noble is scratching their head and they're thinking, they're ciphering as to whether the book is okay or not. They're looking for nasty poo-poo words and they're going to bounce them right out of there if they find any. And the other people thinking seriously are the Audible book people, because I'm having that portion edited right now for your listening pleasure. And you will eventually be able to purchase a paperback book, a hardcover, fantastically designed and built book edition for the ages. Or if you are impecunious, then you might want the Kindle version, the ebook. Amazon will send that right to your reader instantly once you pay the money, which is going to be like $4.80. That's all it's going to cost you to get a Kindle version of Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. Now, after having read it, I'm hoping and I'm expecting that you're going to be more impressed with the knowledge that you've gained. You'll be a Medicare expert like almost nobody else on your block will be. And I believe that you're going to be so confident that you're going to want to go back to Amazon and leave a customer review. Now, it's very simple to do that. All you have to do is write a few words saying, I like this book because, and give it 5 stars. And it's going to help other people discover the book. The more of us that give reviews for products on Amazon, the more other people are going to be able to discover those products. If you think they're good, why wouldn't other people think they're good also? So if you would, please go back and leave a review, unless you completely hated the book, in which case you should just call Randy and tell him that. Randy, get ready for a deluge of complaints and BS. Better you than me.
You know exactly what that reminds me of. You know, we talk about the Buffalo Chip and we talk about Harold's and all the different, you know, establishments. Sure. Up in Cave Creek.
Yep.
You remember behind the cash register in Harold's, there's a big wooden sign. You know what that's, you remember what that sign says?
I do not. Please share it with us.
Complaint department, 40 miles that way.
Oh, I don't remember seeing that sign before.
Oh, I love that sign.
Mostly the waitress very politely takes my credit card and then comes back and I sign a thing. And that's that's all the closer I get to the cash register.
I pay with, no, I'm just teasing. I was going to say I pay with quarters that I saved, but no, I don't have that many quarters. But just, I love that sign. And one of these days, I'm going to get somebody to take my picture in front of it.
Well, I think I'd be happy to do that the next time we meet at Harold's. It is Harold's where you see that sign. Mm-hmm. Okay, for the people who are not Arizonans or not Creekers, Harold's Cave Creek Corral is an old-time bar that was founded in the 1930s to provide a recreational outlet for the dam builders, because there are two dams out in the sticks on the Verde River. One is the Horseshoe Dam and one is Bartlett Dam. And those dams had to be built by some pretty rough and tumble guys. And when they got their paychecks at the end of the week, they needed some place to spend that money. So they drove, 25, 30 miles into Cave Creek. And then when they got to Cave Creek, there was nothing there to have any fun with. So somebody came along and built Harold's in order to accept the damn paychecks.
Well, I love history, but the other thing about Cave Creek is way back in the day, I'm sure you know this already, but the people on the podcast probably don't. Cave Creek was actually there originally because it was a stagecoach stop.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that was one of the early functions of Cave Creek. It was a convenient place to stop to change out the horses and give the passengers a break, because I don't think it's any fun riding in a stagecoach.
Change out the passengers, too.
Yeah. But the other thing is, when I was a kid and I would watch movies on television, Western movies, they were all cowboy movies. That's what I loved. There was always that undercurrent of strife between the cowmen and the sheep herders. If you had cows, then you were like a cut above those pesky sheep herders, because the sheep smelled poo-poo doo-doo, and their little hooves would wreck the turf, so the cows would not be able to eat as much or whatever. And it turns out, just within sight of my office window here is the what is now the Tonto Bar and Grill, but which was back then a sheep shearing station.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And what happened was they made an agreement so they would end the range war between the cowmen and the sheepmen. The agreement was not well thought out. Discussing Western lore, and right outside my office window is the Tonto Bar and Grill. Actually, it's maybe a quarter of a mile away or half a mile away, but it's within sight, or it was before our trees and our new development here grew up. The whole thing about that was that it was the camping spot or the bivouac for Union cavalry that came from California to help watch out for hostile Indians and to, I think, maybe make a statement as the Civil War started. We had one Civil War battle in Arizona, and it was Union cavalry from this area in Arizona against the Confederate cavalry from the Tucson area. But in any event, after that, the same site used as a sheep shearing station, because what happened was the sheep herders and the cowmen came to an agreement, and the sheep herders promised to keep their sheep in the higher elevations up on the Mogollon Rim, which is several thousand feet higher in elevation. And the cowmen were allowed to use the land in our area here around Cave Creek and Scottsdale and in the near the McDowell Mountains and so forth for their cattle to graze. Pretty skimpy grazing, if you ask me. But what happened was the sheepmen would shear the sheep, and then they'd all freeze to death up in the mountains because the weather did not warm up as early in the year. And so they said, well, we can't have that, so we're going to sneak the sheep past the cowmen down to what is going to someday be the Tonto Bar and Grill, and we'll shear them down there where it's warmer and the sheep won't freeze to death after they've been shorn. And so that was the story that I was telling about the difference in activities that went on here in Cave Creek, because it started out to be a wide spot in the road and has come to be quite the tourist town with a bunch of cowboy bars and stuff like that there. So we like it here. It's a lot of fun. It is getting to be a California mecca. They're building houses like you wouldn't believe halfway up Black Mountain, a bunch of houses that never used to be there when we first arrived. And it's changing before our very eyes, but I guess that's the nature of the beast when you live in Arizona. When I drive around Phoenix, like I did last week, I see things that I never would have expected back when I was a little kid and I would come out to visit in second grade, third grade. Anyway, Randy is about to tell me that we've got to speed it up. We've got to get to business here, and I'm going to do that right now.
There was just one thing I was going to mention, Doug.
What's it?
Given the fact that you've now explained to me that Tonto Bar and Grill used to be a sheep shearing station, Now I know why when I go into the Tonto Bar and Grill, I've seen some really fuzzy looking things in there sitting up at the bar.
Well, there, but fortunately, the bar is kind of small, so they can't really outnumber you to any great extent.
There's nothing crazier than an unsheared drunk sheep, I'm telling you.
You're absolutely right. I've unfortunately lived that lifestyle occasionally. I've spent some time at that bar and thoroughly enjoyed it. It's a nice place to hang around, but eventually you got to go home.
Well, you know something? You already said it. We got to make some money, so let's get after it.
Yes, let's get after it. I think that's an excellent thing to do. I had a conversation with the content curator this morning. She was curating a bunch of content for this episode of the podcast, and she said, you know what this reminds me of? This theme that I'm discovering here in a lot of the articles that she's curated has to do with rules. And frankly, I'm not really enamored of a bunch of rules. I like Cave Creek because it's a cowboy town. They don't have a bunch of rules that I have to put up with. And the same could be said of certain Medicare products or certain Medicare, certain states in which Medicare is sold. Some states have more rules than others. And she knows that I'm kind of a rebel at heart. I don't really enjoy towing the line. And the first thing I'm going to do is to show my rebel tendencies, my lack of respect for the rules, is I'm going to read an announcement that was intended to be kept in the hands of agents only. And it is supposed to not be shared with the public at all. But I think it's indicative of a trend that we're going to see more of. We've had Medicare drug plans, prescription drug plans, Part D plans, D as in dog, for a bunch of years now. I think 2006 was when they were first created. And there has been a lot of turmoil in that marketplace, and it has changed over and over again. The most recent change is that in 2024, one company has taken over much of the market, and that is WellCare. Most of the people I find, when they ask me to search for the cheapest drug plan for them, they're in an area where WellCare value script is almost free of charge and is the cheapest plan for them. Because remember, it's not just the premium on a drug plan. It's also the copays that your druggist will charge you when you go in to have a prescription filled. They add that into the cost, the out-of-pocket cost that you're going to pay during the course of the year. So WellCare turns out to be very inexpensive for a lot of drugs in a lot of places where people live. And it is just a fact of life in this prescription drug plan marketplace. Well, one company has decided to wave the white flag. And I'm not supposed to tell you this, but it is Mutual of Omaha. They have several drug plans that they offer to their clientele, their Medicare supplement clientele, and they have decided to get out of that marketplace, probably because they can't make a profit and they are savvy business people and they don't want to lose money because they are also mutual. They're a company that is owned by its policyholders. So they have a responsibility to their company owners, the policyholders, to not lose a bunch of money. Because that means they have to increase the rates on all their products and everybody gets to pay more money, and that's inflationary. So basically, the company is saying, after a careful analysis of the pending impact of the Inflation Reduction Act on Medicare prescription drug plans, Mutual of Omaha has made the strategic decision to exit the Medicare prescription drug plan marketplace at the end of 2024. And what does this mean? Well, anybody that has a Mutual of Omaha drug plan should come to an agent or come to me, perhaps, and ask for another search for the cheapest drug plan in their locality. And if 2025 is anywhere like 2024 is today, then that cheapest plan is probably going to be a WellCare plan. because they seem to be trying to take over the market. They, I don't know who the deep pockets are that are funding the WellCare health plan company owned by Centene, a company I never heard of before I got into this business. They are really doing what they can to take over the drug plan business, the Medicare drug plan. Now, reference was made in this to the Inflation Reduction Act. Now, that act, first of all, doesn't reduce inflation to any measurable extent at all. This is a product of a Democrat majority in Congress. They, first of all, the silly name, and secondly, the actual incorrect result of this act. So both of those things are the result of a Democrat majority in Congress. But the other thing is, one thing they've decided to do is to throw a bone at people who have Medicare drug plans, who have serious medical conditions that use very, very expensive drugs. They have reduced the out-of-pocket risk from unlimited a few years ago to $3,300 this year. So if you have to take some of those Ozempic or Wegovy or some of those drugs that do good things for diabetics, they're pretty pricey drugs. And it turns out that your out-of-pocket expenses are going to be capped at a relatively low cost-sharing point. And they say that next year, 2025, the cap will be $2,000. It doesn't matter how expensive the drugs that you take are, you'll not have to pay more than $2,000 out of your pocket in 2025 for a drug plan and the copays that go along with your plan. So your plan premium might be X number of dollars, and then your copays at the pharmacy might also be fairly pricey, but you will not be asked to spend any more than $2,000 out of your pocket in 2025. So that's good news for people who are stuck with very expensive drugs. It's bad news for the American taxpayer. I'm not really happy about it at all. And Randy was supposed to give me the high sign if we were getting close to needing a commercial break, and he hasn't done that. So I'm going to, oh, now he's going two thumbs up, which is not the sign we agreed on. And so I'm, oh, there we go. Okay, we're going to take a little break for a couple of commercials. I hope they're entertaining. I know that joke writers have been working feverishly to make these more entertaining for you. Hello, everyone. Back again after a short break and talking about rules today. The content curator decided that I needed a little discipline in my life. And so she has gifted me with the series of articles about the rules that Medicare has imposed upon all of us. And one of these is entitled Rules for Making a Medigap Switch. By Medigap, the term really means Medicare supplement. It's Medigap is just a shortcut, or it's an easy way to talk about Medicare plan that covers the gaps in original Medicare, Medigap. I call it Medicare supplement because the plans also supplement original Medicare. So the content of this is talking about finding the best Medicare supplement plan for your budget. Sometimes that means changing things up. Here's some guidance. If you're on traditional Medicare, you already know the importance of having a Medigap or Medicare supplement plan. Medigap is private supplemental insurance that helps fill the gaping holes in traditional Medicare. Like the Part A deductible, for instance, if you spend one day in the hospital that Medicare Part A is going to pay for, your deductible is $1,632 this year. So it's important to have a Medicare supplement that's at least going to help you pay for that. If not, it's going to pay the whole thing for you. Part B coinsurance for doctor's services, typically 20%, in addition to the Part B deductible of $240. There are 10 types of Medigap or Medicare supplement plans, each labeled by a letter from A to N. And not every plan, and every plan with the same letter has identical benefits. So all plans A have identical benefits. All plans G have identical benefits. So even if the insurance company is different, but the monthly premiums can be worlds apart. Depending on the insurer, a 70-year-old male in South Carolina could pay anywhere from $95 to $353 a month for Medicare Supplement Plan G, even though the coverage is identical. Now, in my view, that person ought to be looking at high deductible plan G or high value plan G. The cost for that person is probably going to be in the neighborhood of $30 a month. And that will be, as my math will show you, a very palatable savings, because the additional risk involved with taking the high deductible or high value plan will be very limited indeed. And for those people that don't anticipate having a health problem, every year they're going to be saving enough to make up for a couple of years in which they'll have higher than expected expenses. But let me go on with the article. That price differential between $95 and $353 for Plan G is why it pays to periodically test the market. I would say about 50% of the people are paying too much for their Medicare supplement plans, says the owner of an insurance brokerage firm in Pflugerville, Texas. She says that insurers often offer attractive teaser rates to lure newcomers who have just turned 65 and joined the Medicare world before hiking those premiums up later on. It's like having a loss leader. You'll put the plan out there with a very attractive initial rate. A lot of people will sign up for that plan thinking it's always going to be inexpensive. And once you have them on the books, you can start jacking that rate up every year and they won't know what hit them. And a lot of people have inertia problems. They don't really want to actively search for a better priced plan. But that's not going to help them as the years go by and as the rate increases come down the pike. So this article goes on to say, just how easy is it to switch Medigap plans, and are you still guaranteed coverage the way you were during your initial enrollment? That means coverage for pre-existing conditions. So here's the part of the article that talks about rules and restrictions. The good news is you can switch Medicare supplement plans anytime you want to, not just during the annual enrollment period from October 15th to December 7th. The bad news is that you aren't guaranteed to qualify for a different plan, including one with the same letter. So that guaranteed acceptance, regardless of your health, only lasts for the 6 months after you turn 65 and first sign up for Medicare Part B. Now, you might sign up for Medicare Part B at age 68 because you've been working and covered by your employer's plan. Well, you still have that 6 month guaranteed issue period. If you sign up for a Medicare supplement plan within that first 6 months after Part B starts and you decide you don't like it, you can switch to another plan. No harm, no foul. But that 6 month period runs out and it's never to be given to you again. So it's important to make a good choice. Now, if you want to change plans because you got a big rate increase and you think maybe there's a plan out there with similar benefits, it's cheaper, you can do that, but you're going to have to fill out a health questionnaire in most states. That's going to be a requirement. The insurance company that you want to move to is going to want to know that you are of average health for somebody of your age. So the article here says, after that, medical underwriting applies. Most applicants are likely to qualify for a new plan unless they have something serious like diabetes or a heart condition. That decision will vary by insurer because some people aren't as afraid of diabetes as others are. And one insurer that I like very much says that they'll accept you even if you're a diabetic as long as you take 50 or fewer units of insulin every day. So they'll accept some diabetics, but not all of them. So you could be denied coverage outright by your new plan that you wanted to go to, your new insurance company. Or you could be accepted but charged a higher rate. Or you could face a waiting period of up to 6 months after you enroll before pre-existing condition is covered. During that time, only Parts A and B of Medicare would cover your pre-existing condition, leaving you to foot the bill for any coverage gaps. Typically, that would be 20% of your Medicare eligible expenses. A few states, such as California, Massachusetts, and New York, make it easier to switch plans and still qualify for coverage. But even these states usually have limits to ensure that people can only switch to equal or lesser coverage, not to upgrade their coverage. Now, I'm going to make a comment on that. Upgrading the coverage means buying an expensive plan, hopefully that costs less than the expensive plan that you were paying for. Once again, I suggest consideration of the best priced high deductible or high value Medicare supplement. That is considered to be a downgrade in coverage. That's considered to be going to lesser coverage because it has its own deductible. However, often the savings is larger than the deductible. So that becomes a very wise way to have excellent Medicare supplement coverage with a terrific savings in expenses. So this woman goes on to say that you are also guaranteed coverage if you must switch Medicare supplement plans through no fault of your own. For instance, if your insurance company goes bankrupt. Otherwise, acceptance is not guaranteed, so don't cancel an existing policy until you're sure you've qualified for a new policy from the new company that you want to move to. This article does not mention birthday rules. The birthday rule typically in a given state will allow you to go to the same or lesser coverage during a month or two around your birthday every year. It's like having a get out of jail free card that's only good for a couple of months, and then it goes away until the next year when your birthday comes around. The birthday rules are proliferating. I've seen birthday rules be enacted in several states lately. I think there are probably a total of 7 or 8 states that have a birthday rule. It's going to be, I think, a thing of the future where more states are going to pass these birthday rules because they liberalize the restrictions, the rules that Medicare supplement insured people have to live with, and they will be advantageous for most. They'll drive up the cost of Medicare supplement plans. However, they will offer everybody the freedom of choice of looking at another plan that may be more advantageous, and they can do that around their birthday. Once again, I'm going to suggest that in many situations in places like New York and Southern Florida, the cost of Medicare Plan G is so high that switching to a high deductible or high value Plan G works out to be an excellent source of protection for a lot less money, more bang for your bucks. So the article goes on to say Medicare Advantage exceptions. Some Medicare underwriting restrictions also apply if you switch to traditional Medicare from Medicare Advantage plans, with 3 notable exceptions. If you signed up for an Advantage plan right after joining Medicare, you've got a 12-month trial period. And the same is true if you have a Medicare supplement plan. Drop it to join a Medicare Advantage plan for the very first time. During that trial window, you can leave your Advantage plan, as I'm sure most people will want to do, and switch to original Medicare again, and you'll have guaranteed issue access to the same Medicare supplement plan that you had before. You'll be allowed to switch back to your previous Medicare supplement plan, or if you didn't have one before, you'll be allowed to sign up for any Medicare supplement plan in your area. If you move to a plan not covered by your, move to a place outside the service area of your Medicare Advantage plan, or if the insurer stops providing coverage, you get another guaranteed issue, Medicare supplement guaranteed issue period. But Medicare supplement enrollees who move to another region do not get that same free, get out of jail free card, because Medicare plans offer nationwide coverage. So those are some of the exceptions. Outside of these exceptions, Medicare Advantage plan members who wish to switch to traditional Medicare and who want a Medicare supplement plan will face underwriting. What's more, Advantage policyholders will only be allowed to switch at set times during traditional Medicare's open enrollment each fall and the Medicare Advantage annual enrollment period from January 1st to March 31st. So just to tighten that up a little bit, the times that you can dump your Medicare Advantage plan because you're disgusted with it and go to regular Medicare and get a Medicare supplement plan range from October 15th to December 7th, and then January 1st to March 31st. Other than that, you cannot disenroll from your Medicare Advantage plan. You have to stay with it, so therefore you wouldn't be allowed to have a Medicare supplement plan at the same time. You're going to have to tap your fingers and twiddle your thumbs until the next opportunity comes around, which is going to be probably October 15th for most people. So I'm thinking that we might have burned up our time. I feel as though I've been yakking like nobody's business.
We have used up our 75 cents, Doug.
All righty, then. I'm going to shut up while you get us out of here in good order.
So I just thought I'd mention just the last thought that I always like to leave in our podcast audience's minds is the other, you know, one of my jobs as producer is to come up with alternative nicknames for some of the plans. And the last thing I want to leave your mind with today is one of the other names I have for Medicare Advantage.
Uh-huh.
Is Medicare Disadvantage.
Yes, it is. And that's the other a good one. I think I've heard other podcasters that have stolen that from you.
Yes, yes. Well, I haven't heard this one yet, but the other one that's kind of a favorite of mine is Medicare Scam Vantage.
Yeah, that is a good one. That tells it all right in just a couple of syllables.
So here we go. I need to go ahead and sign off because we've used our time. But before I do, get your pencil out. You can reach out to Doug at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Loves to hear from you. Don't forget, Doug is licensed nationwide to help you with your Medicare supplement planning. Check us out at the website, medicareforthelazyman.com. We would always appreciate it if you could find a place to drop a couple reviews on the variety of content that we produce. Numbers are important for us. Last but certainly not least, thank you for joining us today. We had you right where we wanted you, listening to Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And if you didn't look, you were listening to it for about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, originally from Oklahoma. No more. He's living up in the high ground behind Cave Creek, Arizona. And I'm going to take it easy for him today because I'm looking at the, oh my God, it's only 66 degrees. So I don't want him to turn blue. I'm going to bring him down under 4,000 feet.
Ah, paradise. Thank you, Randy. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. We'll look forward to seeing your smiling faces on our next episode. Bye-bye.